Good morning, dear brothers and sisters.
Amen, brother.
Well, just don't you sense the Lord has arranged a special time for us?
Yes.
Amen.
After a period of time, we haven't had a chance to see one another face to face. Here we are in person, and touching the matters of the divine and mystical realm. For those of you who weren't here last night, we had a wonderful beginning last night in the vision of the divine and mystical realm of the compound spirit. Does everyone have an outline? All those who came this morning got an outline, huh? Okay. So we'll go on to message two. So if you could open to outline number two. And you'll notice that now we're passing on from the vision to the experience of living in the divine and mystical realm of the compound spirit. Now, the first thing, brothers and sisters, this is marvelous. we do believe that this weekend will poise us to be to meet the Lord in rapture.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Anyway. So last night we saw a matter of the vision of the divine and mystical realm of the compound. In general, related to the word vision, vision refers to a spectacular scene. A spectacular scene. Something that stops you and you see it and it's engraved. And you can never, you couldn't forget it if you wanted to. And so, Bill last night gave us some examples of such seeings, such wonderful scenes in the physical realm. He mentioned the Grand Canyon. He mentioned the Northern Lights in Alaska. And he mentioned the emerging profile of the Rocky Mountains when you pass from Kansas into Colorado and approach, and how they just emerge and are there, and then eventually you're in them, and it just so saints for this weekend and for the subsequent times, Brother Phil's examples serve as illustrations of two kinds of seeing of the divine and mystical realm. First of all, no scene, no seeing, no scene, no spectacular, no scene is as spectacular as this one. Phil and I are overwhelmed with the responsibility of trying to present the scene to you. But when we see this, there's nothing more capturing, more worthy, more significant than this seeing. And so we hope that this weekend would be that a kind of a, sometimes we use the word crisis kind of scene, where, wow, maybe you saw the Omnivision film of, I think the exploration of, was it the Grand Canyon? Anyway, it showed the picture of the explorers who first saw the Pacific Ocean. They came over some kind of a ridge. And you know, there was a topography, it was probably scenic or so. And then this unknown, huge, limitless body of water appeared. And it showed and I think they were Spanish explorers, and they just crumbled and knelt down and worshiped God. Amen. Anyway, we hope that we would have a seeing this weekend that would be unforgettable. On the other hand, there's another kind of seeing. It's not just where you see something all at once and there it is. But you see something, and as if it were a Polaroid photograph taking fullness of image as it's developed, It just comes. Like the mountains as you're crossing from Colorado, from Kansas into Colorado, and first there's just something out there, you can't tell what it is, and then you have the beautiful 14,000 feet peaks. Anyway, we hope that you'll have both. We hope this weekend, you'll have a scene that you could never, ever forget. But we also hope that from day after day from now on, this scene would get solidified, reinforced, strengthened, until it governs us and takes us to meet the Lord.
Amen.
So, now in the seeing of this spectacular scene of the divine and mystical realm of the consummated spirit, the first thing is what Brother Phil showed us last night about the realm itself. There is such a thing. There is such a thing as the realm, divine and mystical, of the consummated spirit. And we need a seeing of that realm. And we need to see that the triune God in his excursions, in his journeys, in his endeavors, finalized what he would do in becoming this realm. So we know that we have this term, the consummated spirit. Compound spirit in the title for this weekend, the compound spirit, is also the consummated spirit. And the consummated spirit is the consummation, not just of the spirit, but of the entire divine being.
Amen.
The entire triune God.
Amen.
In his economy. After, as a self-enclosed but infinitely large realm himself, as Brother Phil mentioned last night, something arose in the heart, in the emotive sense of that divine being, to where everything that the three of the divine being enjoyed together in eternally, in an infinitely great enclosure of their divine being, they dreamt that one day there would be an inclusion into that realm. They would be joined.
Amen.
And they wouldn't be just the three enjoyers, but there would be four enjoyers. There'd be four enjoyers. That began a series of steps. As Brother Phil mentioned last night, what became later complications in the new realm. And eventually, God in Christ, as the Spirit was consummated to be the life-giving, compound, consummated, all-inclusive, life-giving
Amen.
Spirit
Amen.
That regenerated us and brought us all that God is.
Amen.
That's the consummation of the triune God. But we may not have thought or realized so much that in the consummating step, the triune God became himself a realm, but now with humanity involved in it. And with humanity involved in this realm, now this realm became enterable. All of those envisioned ones like you and I, who according to Ephesians 1, 4, and 5, were chosen. At that point, we had access. Anyway, there's this realm. And we need to see a vision of this realm, that it exists. Then, in a moment, I'll mention we need to go on to see not only that there's a realm, but that there is, we need to see, as it says in Roman numeral 2, I think, of the message last night, we need to see a vision of the physical realm. Do you have a vision of the physical realm? Do you? Do you have a vision of the physical realm? We'll get to that in a moment, but you cannot see, understand, or appreciate the physical realm until you see, understand, and appreciate the divine and mystical realm. So you need a vision of the two realms. And thirdly, you need a vision that we can live in both realms at the same time. This is a vision. This is a vision. So with the title of the message last night, you might have thought that this was just a seeing of the divine and mystical realm, which it is, which it is. But as we transition now into the living, the vision of the living in this, the experience of the living in this message, we have to see that we need a vision of living in that realm, because it's possible for us to have a detached, disimpassioned view of it. Oh, there are two realms. Oh, it's possible to be in both realms. But those two persons that we just read about in Matthew 24, those brother and the sister, the Lord came and took them, they didn't just realize that there were two realms. They had a vision that they needed to live in these two realms, because I don't think it just happens accidentally that we live in these two realms. Okay, so to say a little bit more about the vision of the divine and mystical realm. So we could be like the story of a farmer. This is a true story now, of a farmer in southwestern United States. And this is a true story. So this farmer lived outside a large town or small city here in the Southwest, and had a little farm. And I've forgotten what crops he raised, but say he had a farm maybe 200 acres, and he would farm the land. And this was his life, was farming the land. And his endeavors and his days and his strength was given to doing the farming work. And one day he was walking in the field, and as he walked in the field, his foot was like the ground gave way. And his foot broke through the crust, the surface of the earth. And he had to catch himself. He almost fell through. So just walking, he broke through. And quite an experience, huh? True story. And but he was able to catch himself, and he pulled his foot back, and was probably relieved that he didn't break his leg or something, and kept walking, and then went back to his farming. Okay, so this is illustrative of most of the believers who have lived New Testament age and can represent us in the Lord's recovery. This man was a farmer, and he knew the farming realm, the physical realm, and he gave full attention to it. To him, that was what there was. That was what there was. But he didn't know that under the soil was another realm. So this little place that broke through to a system of subterranean caverns. And so he had no way to know that, and he didn't know it. So many believers are like persons who, like this farmer, before they were saved, they only knew the farming realm, the physical realm. That's all they knew. Unbeknownst to them, there is another realm. You know, my colleagues, my physician colleagues who would say there's no unseen realm, you know, they're wrong. They don't understand. So before we were saved, all of us were we may have been somewhat this way. We only knew the physical realm. But we got saved.
Hallelujah.
We got saved. And one day, just as that farmer's foot had fallen through, there was now an interface between two realms. There was a breakage point. There was a mutual point of contact between those two realms. So let me liken now the regeneration experience to breaking through the crust.
Amen.
Let's say that farmer was like many believers who break through the crust. Now there's an interface and there is a realm, and now in a certain sense, the farmer has a way, the person has a way to know there's another realm there, right? But let's say he just continues to farm. That's how most believers. There's another realm of subjective experience.
Amen.
Of God himself in a volumetric sense, in a three-dimensional sense, where they can, as it says in John 3:15, they believed into another realm.
Amen.
And now their spirit, part of their being, had access to and was involved in another realm. In a sense, now, they had membership. They had involvement with another realm. So in a sense, this farmer who had access now to this other realm, but let's say he just continued to farm and remained in the physical realm. Well, you see my point, right? You see my analogy. You could continue to live in the physical realm even though you now have access to and know that there is another realm. You may not, just like that farmer, didn't really know what was going on down there, but he knew there was something going on down there, but maybe just let it go. We just didn't respond to it. Okay. But in this story, back to the story now. In the story, the farmer did pay attention to it. He went on and did his daily work that day, but he thought, what was that? And he went back there, and he developed it. He got some out, got his there, got a lantern, and looked around, and it opened up, and opened up, and it was huge, and it went for miles, and when it was enlightened, when the light shone, all the scene. All the stalactites, the stalagmites, marble-like. And it was cool, refreshing down there. Anyway, this is the story of the Sonoma Caverns in Sonoma, Arizona. But it illustrates the fact that we can be oblivious to a real, actual realm of reality that's there. And so, of course, now we need to realize there's such a realm. And realizing that the realm is there, just like with this farmer, doesn't enable us to realize its grandeur, its immensity, its expansiveness. But once you get down in there and explore a little bit, you can find out. So now we have the rest of our lives. To explore the dimensions of the divine and mystical realm. So the outlines and what Brother Phil shared last night and the outlines going on, we'll talk more about this wonderful realm that we have. But now, back to the vision of the two realms. It isn't just enough. I think Brother Gary mentioned this last night, that there's been a tendency, and I think it was you, Gary, who mentioned there's been a tendency to, once you realize there's a realm there, to not want to have anything to do with the physical realm anymore and depart from that physical realm and enter into the divine realm. This is the history, right, of pious persons who touch something of God in a way. This was referred to in the book of Colossians. There was this tendency among the believers in Colossae, or among those who were influencing them. And so we could think need to just away from the physical realm and cleave to this discovered divine and mystical realm. But as was pointed out in our reference scripture, as was true of Noah, who in the days of the violence, disorder of the time, lived a proper upstanding life in the midst of that generation and didn't exclude himself from it. And involved himself in the same kind of daily life activities that the others did at that time in terms of eating, drinking, and taking care of daily responsibilities. But found grace in the eyes of God, involved himself with God, walked with God. Likewise, we now need to do the same. We'll get into this, I think, in the next message in John chapter 17. Now, so what I was saying about the relationship between the two realms. Once you realize and once you see the vision of the divine and mystical realm, as someone who realizes not only must you, but you should continue to have your daily living, your daily living becomes, it is, here's the vision. Your daily living is to be the facilitation of the divine and mystical realm. The support for the divine and mystical realm. The entry into the divine and mystical realm. So that, as Brother Phil mentioned last night, as Brother Phil pointed out last night, the things in the divine and mystical realm, the things in the created material realm, well, this is a huge subject, especially in Colossians chapter 1. But the physical realm is a realm of relative, transient reality. So we know from the scriptures, and we have some realization, that my bottle of water here is real. I can drink it. I can hold it. But its reality is transient. I mean, you know, not only will I drink the water, which will still be around, I guess, but not only will the plastic not be around, but this lectern won't be around, and our chairs and our automobiles that we brought in today, we realize they have finite existence. So when material existence sprang forth from the creating God was the reality. Amen. And what came forth from him reflects his reality, but is not that reality. does not partake of the divinity, the infiniteness of the divine being. And so, in the physical realm, the things that we look at and enjoy, we wouldn't say they're not real, but they're not real in the absolute sense. But because of their sourcehood, because of their source, they are connected to reality. And so, as in Colossians chapter 1, we have the realization that the physical reality has the purpose of reflecting and ushering us in our practical daily experience into the experiences of the divine being.
Hallelujah.
And so we don't disregard or despise or minimize the importance of the material things around us, but when we have the vision of the divine and mystical realm, we have the vision, the physical realm is to usher us, to serve as an usher for us into the divine and mystical realm, then the physical realm becomes precious.
Amen.
And of course, the point, the interface here between the two, of course, is our spirit, is the indwelling point of the consummated spirit, which has come into us. And so as Brother Phil said, as we appreciate things in our physical environment and treasure the fact that their absolute source in reality is some aspect or attribute of the divine being, that causes us to say, Lord, I love you, I worship you, I touch you. You now are substantiated and validated and brought close and involved in my experience, in my now. So, the material matters enable us to touch the corresponding divine matter and bring us into the divine and mystical realm. When we're in the divine and mystical realm, then, we look around at the material surrounds and we realize that they are able to reinforce our experience in the divine realm. Right? So when we see the saints who are in the material realm partially, they're also in the divine realm. Well, maybe I shouldn't say the saints. You know, inanimate objects. Now, as those who are in the divine realm, and we see and approach those things in the material realm, now they have a new significance. Now they have a new significance. So don't think that in the divine economy, the material realm is evil or short or separate. But the material realm is to reflect and offer context to our joint living with God in the divine realm.
Amen.
So in Romans chapter 8, it tells us that the material realm, the material creation is personified. And it's wanting us to advance in the divine realm to the point of maturity. And it says that it was subjected to corruption in hope that the manifestation of the sons of God would follow. In other words, the physical realm has a function that is intended to bring forth the maturity of the sons of God, those living in the divine mystical realm. And so, as our brother has said, and as probably mention here in a moment, the entire material creation is for us to meet God, for us to move with God, for us to live with God, for us to romance with God, to serve as a wedding parlor for us and God, for us to be together with God. So do you see how the understanding of the divine and mystical realm that we are to live there and the realization that we are simultaneously to be in the physical realm uplifts the physical realm to a point that someone who just is an unbeliever could never appreciate to that degree. So with these are the two visions, the vision of the divine and mystical realm and the vision of the two in their relationship to one another, uplifting the significance of the physical realm. Now, we need a vision that we are to live in both realms at the same time. It becomes a wonderful vision for us to see. I'm watching your expressions here. Some of you look puzzled. Some of you look perplexed. To see this as the centrality of human life, as the core of human life, as what we can involve ourselves with, is a great, great vision. But to actually live here is yet another thing. It's easy for us to feel that we can't do that. As Brother Phil said last night, all of us here are learners. A learner first has to get the assignment. Okay, here's your assignment. They have to learn how to do the work, right? The assignment is for us to live in both of these realms at the same time. Amen. Then we need to learn how to do that. But if we, from where we are, consider that in my 8-hour work day of employment, I can and should spend that 8-hour work day in the divine realm while I'm at the workplace and do my work and be there and be the best worker there. We say, nah. Sounds like wishful thinking. Sounds like a philosophical thought. Sounds like someone's fanciful idea. No. Well, it was someone's fanciful idea. Yeah. It's the divine fanciful idea. So, anyway, this weekend and the enlarging vision is to not only convince you, but recruit you and apply you to the outworking of this very matter.
Hallelujah.
And so if we're here in 6 months again, I think we'll be able to register that we've made progress. If we're here in a year again, we'll make progress. Anyway, I think we all feel that not too many years are going to be involved before the Lord comes.
Amen.
Okay, now, I'm not ignoring or diminishing the importance of the outline points because we will get to those, but I wanted to try to work on the matter that we can do this assignment. We can do this assignment. So if any of you have had a lot of success in living in two realms at the same time, I hope that you would, at the end of when I sit down, I hope you would share with us what you've learned. And if not, I hope you would share with us your aspiration.
Amen.
But so, regarding living in these two realms, the ministry has used this wonderful term related to the blessedness of it. the blessedness of it. This is the blessed involvement. And this is the highest human capacity or skill. This highest human capacity. Maybe you're an artist here. Maybe someone here is an artist. Maybe you're a writer. Maybe you're an architect. Maybe you're outstanding in your field. So you try to develop your skill at something. We all have something along that line. Well, whatever that is needs to be displaced to a second place where it is done in subservience to living in the divine and mystical realm.
Amen.
And the capacity that we all need to develop and assess and keep track of how we're doing in is living in these two realms simultaneously. How are we doing? Phil mentioned last night the example from Brother Lee's experience. He kept close track of how he was doing with this. And if you don't keep track, you're probably not going to progress. But so here, so the name of this top skill isn't CPA, it isn't MBA, it isn't. What it is this is the name of the skill. Blessed simultaneity. Blessed simultaneity. This is the skill that is, if you aren't already trying to develop this, this is the skill for you to develop. Blessed simultaneity. And only you know how you're doing. No one's going to quiz you or ask you. But this is the criterion for what's going to happen when Matthew 24:38-42 becomes real to you. Or when it becomes the yardstick that's applied to you, this is what's going to matter, what you developed in this. So, let's see here. So, the assurances I'd like to give you are, number one, these will all start with R for realm. Relationship truth. Two. Rapture. Three. Realm relationship. Four, regeneration principle. Five, righteousness. Six, responsibility. Seven, readied. Eight, reciprocal. and 9 romance. Now, I'm very afraid it seems like I'm trying to make my own message here, and I'm ignoring the outline. I'm not wanting to do that, but I do want to point out to you that these are things that I think can make this matter of living in two realms, blessed simultaneity, this skill, this can make this more definite. So I just mentioned briefly this, and I'm sure it'll come up, they'll come up other times. First of all, when we talk about living in two realms, we're talking about a realm who is a person.
Amen.
The consummated spirit, the divine compound spirit, consummated spirit is God himself as an aspiring, endeavoring person. And when we talk about seeing and living in the divine realm, we're talking about a relationship truth. And you could say here, this is probably the ultimate relationship truth. So, hopefully, this engages you. This realm isn't just a cave under the ground that as a farmer you might like to explore and develop. This realm is one of personal, aromatic, affectionate involvement in intended relationship. If you don't see it that way, it may not burn in you. It may not impel you. It may not attract you that much, but if you do see it as it is, then it should. Okay, number two, rapture. Now, these are supposed to be assurances that you can do this or that it's worth doing to have blessed simultaneity. The first one is that this is a relationship matter. The second is this defines rapture. This is the point of our verses that we read. Matthew 24, 38 through 42 indicate that it is this kind of simultaneous living in two realms that prompts, enables, hastens, and actualizes the Lord's coming. So, blessed simultaneity is rapture. It is parousia. It is, so as a believer, you may have thought, oh, how good it would be if the Lord would come. How good it would be if I would be honored in His coming. How good it would be if Lord, I love you. I love your appearing. Well, if you love His appearing, this will matter to you. This blessed simultaneity, this living in two realms will matter to you. And as you get into it, you don't just await rapture. You are rapture. You are rapture. This is the significance here. The verse 42, 43, I think that we read a little bit further this morning than was actually indicated. It said that if you had known the time the thief is coming, you wouldn't have allowed your house to be broken into, which, as you know, is a paradoxical reference to the Lord as a thief coming in his secret coming for the treasure that he's after. This indicates that what happened in the previous verse, one taken, one left, that is the Lord's secret coming. And that triggers everything that happens from now till eternity. That is the pivotal point. So, by living in these two realms, you involve yourselves and you make yourself an agent, an agency of the pivotal turn of the ages. And you involve and you honor yourself to be one who the Lord takes rapture. Okay, so then, realm relationship. That's what I mentioned earlier, that it's not until you realize that Your married life, your house, is the place where you do this. You live this out, and it makes your house, your married life, your spouse, your children of heavenly import. Everything. And your workplace. And your automobile when you're driving it. And your yard when you're taking care of it. All of these things become very significant. While outwardly, you don't pay much attention to them. But now, because it isn't just the divine realm, it's the divine and experienced by you, simultaneously by your desire to realize that it's in this. Oh, I forgot one. It's in this setting. It's in this setting that, actually there are 10. That's good. Round number. Okay. So in here, was supposed to go registration. Registration. Okay, what is registration? Registration is my inserting of a synonym that begins with R for the word consciousness. Realm involves consciousness. Realm obligates consciousness. If you have no consciousness that you're in a place, you might as well not be there. If you go to where? If you go to Italy because you want to be privileged to have some something that the federal government there gives you, but you don't realize you're in Italy and you... Anyway, you see what I mean. You see what I mean. If you... Consciousness involves a realm. So what we're talking about here with this blessed simultaneity, living in two realms, is that you are conscious of two realms at the same time. You have the registration of two realms at the same time. And so you're in the physical realm. You realize you're in the physical realm. Am I right? But as you're in the physical realm with a realization that that realm connects to the divine realm, the connection in your realization causes you to have a consciousness of the divine realm as you're in the physical realm. And you touch the things in the physical realm with a consciousness of the divine realm, and you have this experience. The two converge, or what's the word? Constrain you, impel you into a personal contact with the Lord right there.
Hallelujah.
And your spirit's touched, and you're at the interface, and you're on the farmland and the cave at the same time. You're here. So there's a lot to say here. Anyway, registration, consciousness is a big point. It's a big point. Can you be conscious of the Lord unremittingly, continually, while you're doing your raising your kids at home? Can you? You probably won't accidentally. But what if you realize this is what matters?
Amen.
This is what matters. This is what counts.
Amen.
This is more important than teaching them piano. Yes, still teach them piano, but this is. I will establish the Lord in my consciousness on the workplace and at home, and that consciousness is the realm. Because when you're conscious of the Lord, that just as our calling, Lord Jesus, is an example of consciousness that brings us into contact with Him. When we want consciousness, when in our consciousness we want Him, we think of Him, we want Him, this brings us to our spirit, to the interface, to the mutual contact. And then, this enables us to merge the divine realm with the physical realm in our involvements. Anyway, there's probably more to say here, but then 4. This is the principle of our regeneration.
Hallelujah.
So this is a point on our outline, so So, there's such a thing as the principle of regeneration. Have you heard of that? Okay. Brother Phil referred to it last night, or referred to an example of it last night in Colossians 2:6, which says, therefore, as therefore you have received the Christ, Jesus the Lord, so also walk in him. So actually, this is an expansive principle in the New Testament especially, where you'll see this again and again. One of the verses we have here, Galatians 3:2, says, are you so foolish, Galatians? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being perfected in the flesh? What is this? This is Paul saying, you believed, you began in the Spirit. What is the logical continuation of that? That you'd continue in the Spirit.
Amen.
So, Brother Lee talks about this, especially related to John chapter 3, the chapter on regeneration. But this is the principle of regeneration. So, since in regeneration, since at the time of our regeneration, we entered into the divine realm according to John 1:12, according to John 3:15, according to John 3:36. In our regeneration, we entered into this divine realm. Where should we? This implies that as we stay in the divine realm, in our physical, in our personal living, our personal living and the divine realm will merge.
Amen.
So this is simply, to do this, to live this way, is simply to keep the scriptural principle of regeneration.
Amen.
Then righteousness. We realize that righteousness is a call, is a charge. We should be righteous. 1 Peter 1:17 says, you shall be righteous as your God is righteous. And righteousness is a huge thing. But righteousness, the divine righteousness, conferred upon us in our judicial redemption by the Lord's death, is an objective start for us to be able to be subjectively righteous. So Philippians 3:9 says, and be found in him. Here, the preposition in is emphatic, referring to a literal in. In him. Where is that? That's in the consummated Spirit. This is the pneumatic Christ. So we're in him, not having my own righteousness, but that which is according to the faith of Jesus Christ. So the subjective righteousness, which matches readiness for rapture, subjective righteousness, is to be positioned in the divine realm and in the physical realm at the same time.
Amen.
To be in that realm. So, this is actually subjective righteousness, our righteousness. Our righteousness is to be in this experience of blessed simultaneity. So this is our responsibility. Now, believers have how many responsibilities? How many tenets? How many things? You know, if you're in the Catholic persuasion, there may be several things you're supposed to do. Church of God, there may be certain things you have to do. Okay, what do you have to do? What do you have to do? Well, we have to love him, you know. Okay. Well, eventually, let's boil it all down. If we do this, it's our one responsibility. Yeah, as shown by here, right? Show me. There's our sole responsibility. We fulfill the law. We fulfill the law of the Spirit of life in Romans chapter 8, as we'll see tonight, simply by being in these two realms at the same time.
Amen.
So, it says, Paul says, this one thing I do, The Lord said, Mary did one thing. The one thing we do. Now, readied. What do I mean by readied? Readied means that in his resurrection, he consummated uncountable steps and endeavors of his to prepare himself as an enterable realm. And in his resurrection, he gave us through an interface of our spirit, which when he regenerated us, gave entrance into this divine realm of our spirit only. Our spirit now is part of the divine mystical realm. Our spirit is. When we set our mind on the spirit, or we turn our heart to the Lord and touch our spirit, this aligns the rest of our being with the interface, and we move into this realm with our person. And so this realm is readied, and so the readied reasonable response is that we would enter in and stay in this realm. Okay, then reciprocal. What was I going to say here? Okay, so reciprocal is this. Reciprocal is that we respond in kind. So these two are related. But for example, you're a good saint in the Lord's recovery. You know that the Lord became the Spirit in his resurrection, that he regenerated you, that he dwells in you. And so now he's within you to be your life, strength, endurance, patience, humility, when you need it, right? So you live your life, and when you need something, you call on him. You call on him, and he brings you that thing that you need, and he is that thing to you. Wonderful, right? It's all for you, right? It's all for you. He came into you to be everything to you in your regeneration. But he also at that time, as the Spirit became, as Brother Phil pointed out last night, he became the consummated Spirit. He became the realm. He became the realm filled with these flowing spices, sweetness, and aromaticity. Filled with this, and is there vacant in a certain sense in terms of everything that he needed. So are you okay with just the fact that you have a need and now he meets your need, but he has a need and you don't meet his need? He has needs.
Yeah.
He has needs. He needs to be populated. He wants you to be in him as a realm so he can enjoy you and you can enjoy him together mutually there, and you take a position detached, unmoved, untouched. Well, reciprocal means it should matter to you. The word says, he says, it matters to him concerning you. Does it matter to you concerning him? Well, he wants you to live with him in this realm. Until you're in the realm, living with him in this realm implies living. You know, if he, as the consummated Spirit, is in you, indwells you, and meets your every need, that's not him living. That's you living. And then you apply him once in a while. But if you're in him as a realm, now you're living there because everything you see is him. So this person, this incredible divine person, is a realm in whom we are right now. And every experience is referable to him personally. And it's referable to him in way of romance. So there's the last group. Notice that this one, number 10, links with number 1. Until this becomes to you a relationship truth that involves the fact that this is a romantic life experience. It's not that to you. You know why it's not that to you? Because you're dull, cold, in your natural makeup in respect to him. He's burning. He's intent. He's concentrated. We're an unlikely pair. But this is to stir up our feeling of romance. If you're not in romance, you will never be the one taken in Matthew 24, 38 through 42. And you'll never explore the depths and the reaches of living in two realms at the same time. But if you are involved in romance, then everything, look around, the fan has the face your beloved. Because it connects you. Not because the fan is your beloved. You see? The camera. You know, he's the one who's able to accurately record everything. Anyway. Do you see how, now I'll give you the verse 1, 15 through 18, refer to this. Time to talk about those now. But anyway, this is real. This is practical. This is not a construct. This is not a fanciful idea. This is your pathway to Zion, to the third heavens, to rapture, to the end of the age. And to be of the small number in history, in time, among believers who the Lord could look to turn the age. So, I hope with these assurances, you feel readied and motivated to live in two realms at one time and to know blessed simultaneity. Okay, so now we'll go through the outline and just the verses that are mentioned here are very important, but their main importance is for you to see that these verses that you understood in a certain context actually, in their primary denotation, refer to living in the divine and mystical realm. So there are some familiar verses here, but the main thing we're going to notice is that they direct us to this very experience. Okay, so Roman number 1 says, in the divine and mystical realm of the compound spirit, we receive the spirit as the unique, all-inclusive blessing. So here we have Galatians 3:14, 2 and 5. Now, anyone here a spiritual son of Abraham? Well, we're all spiritual sons of Abraham, right? So Galatians 3:14, of course, refers to the blessing of Abraham. And what was the blessing of Abraham? The promise of the Spirit. And the promised Spirit here, of course, was the Spirit as the fulfillment of the good land promised to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. And so, as sons of Abraham, we should enter into the experience of and the fulfillment of the Old Testament type of the good land by being in the compound, consummated Spirit as our good land. Now, does not the Spirit as our good land imply that we are to live in the realm of the consummated Spirit? It does. And when we're there, then we have the experience of Galatians 3, 2, and 3, 5. What do those verses say? Well, I referred to 3, 2 already. But 3, 2 says, it refers to our having received the Spirit. I have the verse written out for me here, but it refers to our having received the Spirit, are you now being perfected in the flesh? Verse 2. Then verse 5 says, he who is supplying you the Spirit. Now, in the footnote and in the elaboration of the ministry there, supplying refers to our having the ministry, having the Spirit flow and supply us all the time, continuously. So, what a wonderful prospect. The Spirit flowing all the time, enjoying the Spirit all the time, being in the Spirit all the time. Well, back to the principle of regeneration. Verse 5, following verse 2, shows that once you receive the Spirit, you should be continuously in the supply of the Spirit.
Amen.
It just continues on. It makes sense, right?
Amen.
I mean, anything you establish, any endeavor you establish, you have a starting point, and that starting point is going to allow a continuation.
Amen.
How much more with God's economy and with our regeneration. So having received the Spirit, we should continue the Spirit. We should be supplied the Spirit continuously. Well, where does that happen? That happens when we endeavor to merge these two realms, live in them in a practical way jointly, dually. And as we do that, we're not exercising to have the Spirit supplied to us. We just have it. We're in this realm of the flowing myrrh, cinnamon, calamus. You're in a myrrh, you're in a mire. I mean, what is it, mire? You said, Bill? You're in a mire. You wanna be out of that mire? Just be in the realm. And you're out. And there's no bugs there. There's no devil there because in this realm, you have the fulfillment of kasha. So in this realm, we have everything, and the Spirit is our all-inclusive blessing. Indwelling, He's also our blessing. But because of our being sequestered in our flesh and in our natural constitution, we only break through and apply and enjoy that Spirit occasionally. But when, with these realizations that we're in the divine and mystical realm, we can remain at the interface continuously. We're not limited by the flesh. We're not limited by our concepts and by our reactions and by our circumstances. Rather, every circumstance is the occasion to enjoy this supplying Spirit. So A says the Spirit is God Himself, processed in His Trinity through incarnation, human living, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, that we may receive Him as our life and our everything. So John 7:39, the Spirit was not yet. Hallelujah. The Spirit now is. And when He is, when he got to be what He wanted to be, guess what He was? He became a realm. The Spirit who is the realm in whom and which we are to live. B, the Spirit is the total blessing of the gospel, including on the judicial side, forgiveness, redemption, salvation, conciliation, justification. On the organic side, eternal life, the divine nature, the uplifted and resurrected human nature, and the triune God Himself. All these are ours spontaneously in this realm. In Roman numeral 2, in the divine and mystical realm of the compound Spirit, we receive the transmission of the ascended Christ and the supply of His heavenly ministry. So here, saints, we have two wonderful portions that you're very familiar with. In Ephesians 1:22, the heavenly supply from the ascended Christ in the heavens, who's over all and ruling over all, is to the church. Is to the church. And this allows the saints to develop and grow. It allows the church to be raised up suddenly, even quickly, when this transmission is activated, things happen quickly. So, in the context of our outline, where is the transmission? The transmission is ours at the interface occasionally, when we touch it, occasionally. But when we start to release the power of the material realm to bring us simultaneously into the divine and mystical realm, we have this transmission unremittingly, continuously. That little meter is going all the time. And we have this transmission nonstop. So where is Ephesians 1:22, where the church is the body? The church is the body when the church is in the divine and mystical realm. And in the physical realm at the same time, which is the church. The church bridges these two realms, right? Then Hebrews 8, 1 and 2, referring to the Lord in his heavenly ministry, ministry according to the order of Melchizedek, is ministering life to us, it says, and ministering heaven to us. And it tells us in the footnote that this is to bring us into a consciousness of heaven, a realization of heaven. Ministers heaven to you. So you realize you're in heaven as a state, not necessarily as a place, but as a state, you're in heaven. So when is this? How is this? When we live at the interface through the assisting function of the material realm, we're at this interface. Heaven, this transmission is ours continuously. Continuously. So this should be an incentive, huh? An incentive to live in this realm. Subpoint say, to the church here means a kind of transmission and indicates that whatever Christ the head has attained and obtained is transmitted to the church, his body. Amen. So the church in Kansas City needs this transmission. And so the church in Kansas City needs to live in blessed simultaneity, right?
Hallelujah.
Live in the divine and mystical realm where this transmission is occurring, taking place. Roman numeral 3, in the divine and mystical realm of the consummated spirit, we experience God's organic salvation. Now, having seen one another not so much in the last 2 years, when you see one another now, do you notice a difference?
Amen.
Yeah. Hopefully, there's quite a difference now, right? Because we've been experiencing a much more salvation. We shouldn't be the same year by year, because this salvation applied to us causes us to mature and causes us to be different in our expression. So we may look older physically, but we should be different inwardly.
Amen.
Well, how different we are inwardly depends upon how much of these last 2 years we have been in the divine and mystical realm.
Amen.
The divine and mystical realm is where this organic salvation takes place. If you're in the Lord's recovery, but outside of the divine and mystical realm, yet in the Lord's recovery, sorry. You'll be in that category that our brother refers to sometime where 40 years pass, 50 years pass, and apparently about the same. Yeah. This realm is specific. Here is the realm of organic salvation. It's here it occurs. A, the complete salvation of God has two aspects, the judicial aspect and the organic aspect. So, the judicial aspect, subpoint one, is the procedure in the physical realm. Do we appreciate this? Yes. Yes, we appreciate everything the Lord did in his incarnation, human living, and death on the cross, which comprise his work in the stage of incarnation and comprise his judicial redemption effected in that stage of his ministry. But do notice that everything he did there, as he was effecting this judicial redemption, he did tendering, seeing, preparing the experience of the divine and mystical realm for us. He was there. In his human living, he lived as he was carrying out our judicial redemption. He was in the divine and mystical realm, preparing that previously unenterable realm, making entry, forming an entry for us into it, especially by inventing man, humanity, that could live this way.
Amen.
In his judicial redemption, he created the template. He invented the template. As a man, he lived in blessed simultaneity. In the divine realm, so that we could enter in to that realm and benefit from his very own experiences and spontaneously possess them and live them out. Two, the organic aspect is the purpose of our organic salvation. I mean, is the purpose of our complete salvation, and is in the divine and mystical realm. So I think maybe Phil's going to speak about this another time, but have you ever wondered why the stage of the Lord's ministry in which he carried out organic salvation after the stage of his judicial redemption is called what? It's called the stage of his inclusion. Have you ever wondered why is that called the stage of his inclusion? Can you relate that to today's topic? Any suggestions? Yes, this means that in his resurrection, which began the stage of his inclusion, where organic salvation was established, he brought us into the divine and mystical realm. By regenerating us, making us members of his body, he brought us into himself as this realm, in the interface of our spirit, so that whenever we wanted to, we could enter in fully. So then, what is the next stage? Stage of his intensification. From the time of the degradation of the church onto the New Jerusalem is the stage of his intensification. What is that now? That's the stage we're in right now. This conference this weekend is in the stage of his intensification. What is it for? It is to bring you and I into the realm, following our regenerated spirit, the rest of our being, into the realm of his inclusion, into the divine and mystical realm, to live there and to experience blessed simultaneity. Things happen intensely in your situation? That's what it's for. Intense world situation right now? That's what it's for. It's all to bring you and I into the realm of his inclusion, which degradation blocked, but then that degradation, which we have within us and which we have around us, is going to be overcome by his work in the stage of intensification. And then we're going to be in this realm. And then we will qualify for this rapture, and that will be the end. B, the crucial need in the Lord's recovery today is not to be... is not to be held back by the satisfaction with the judicial aspect, but to press forward, to experience the organic aspect, so that there might be the possibility of accomplishing the eternal economy of God. When we, just by talking about what we're talking about this morning, doing what we're doing this morning, We are now in the possibility of carrying out the eternal economy of God. Now we just have to. I don't think there's anything I've said that's beyond any of us. We can all just dedicate ourselves to have this highest capacity to live in these two realms at the same time, and then this possibility gets fulfilled. Well, saints, I think that probably I should stop here because I want to give you... Are we going to end at noon, I suppose, huh? We'll end at noon, right? When are we going to end? Yeah. So assuming we have 5 minutes for announcements, then you'd still have 15 minutes to say something. So I will just very briefly, less than 1 minute, just mention something regarding the final two. Four says, in the divine and mystical realm of the compound spirit, we live in the kingdom of God and the realm of the divine species. Here it points out, well, I hope I can elaborate on this a little bit, maybe tomorrow, but it points out that in our regeneration, we enter into the divine and mystical realm to become members of the divine species. Now we just have to live that out. We have to live that out. And that living is in the divine and mystical realm. This is the principle of regeneration. Then Roman number 5 says, in the divine and mystical realm of the compound spirit, we live in the fellowship of the divine life. And that fellowship becomes continuous in Acts 2:42 and is there in John 1:3. In John 1:1, talking about the Lord as the disciples lived with him, it says, that which. It doesn't say he, right? It says, that which we saw, that which we handled, that which was something mysterious, which was his living in two realms at one time. In verse 2, it says, the fellowship that we had, that the Son had with the Father. And that fellowship was described by the Greek pronoun pros, which means mutual movement toward. So the Father and the Son were in fellowship as a realm in eternity. Then John says, now we have fellowship with him, with the Son and the Father, in the same kind of way. And now we have fellowship with you. Vertical, horizontal. Now, when you have a horizontal plane and a vertical axis, what does that map out? Yeah, maps out three dimensions. Maps out a cubic, a three-dimensional. It points to a realm. In other words, the fellowship that's described in John 1:1-3 is a fellowship that transpires in the divine and mystical realm. So by being in that realm, we participate in the fellowship with the Father and with the dear saints. Well, saints, let me stop here. I think you have at least 10, 12 minutes, right? Or is that, or are we going to do something else? So maybe we could pray with our neighbor for a moment, and then the brothers will let us know what we should do.